We don't have to tell anybody here in Carbondale that it's Fashion Show Week, and last year's Best in Show, Ira Sherman, the creator of Chastity Couture, or maybe I should say perpetrator of Chastity Couture, is here today with us. Hi, Ira.
Well, how are you doing, Luke?
It's good.
Good to be back in Carbondale.
And welcome back to Katie and Kay.
Thank you.
Are you a perp?
A perp?
A perpetrator of Chastity
Couture. Well, these days I am. It's a venue that I discovered a few years ago, and it's many people now are looking at the work, whereas before it was basically a gallery venue. Museums and galleries would see the work. But once we called it couture and fashion, these essentially steel chastity belts became this elaborate design concept that has gotten a lot of recognition.
Uh-huh. Huh. Was it you who thought of couture?
That yeah, we're label? Trying to think of a more palatable way to market anti-rape devices. Or how would you get it into a museum or into a gallery and not scare people away? And essentially, a chastity belt is an anti-rape device.
Uh-huh.
And I turned it into these beautiful, elegant, aesthetic, exoskeletal forms.
But hard to wear. I mean, they're not very practical.
Well, practical, these are art.
Okay? Yeah.
And they're entertainment in some uh-huh. aspects. But they're also carefully formed over anatomically correct mannequins. So when the model puts these on, either male or female, we try to get the weight, and some of them weigh up to 50 pounds. So you get an idea of the scale of these
things. Oh, I didn't realize they were so heavy.
Yeah. We try to get the weight distributed evenly on the shoulders, the hips. One of the challenges I have as an artist working with steel and making these pieces is they have to look fluid, they have to be comfortable, and they have to work. A lot of these are mechanical, so there's a couple different things that go on in the design of them.
Mechanical, I think I saw one video that was mechanical. You pressed a button and there was compressed air or gas or something.
Correct.
That inflated part of the sculpture. Can describe that.
Okay, so there's kind of a new movement going on in fashion, and these are designs that actually move on the body. It used to be you put the fashion, the woman or the man takes a runway walk, and that's how the work becomes kinetic. Now there's a movement where the work is becoming kinetic on its own after or during the runway walk. And I was thinking, how would Sherman do this? And I work with pneumatic control systems a lot and some pneumatic engineering. And I figured out a way of getting these pieces to be animated when they're on the runway. One of the techniques I use is I use about a 300 PSI air bottle, which inflates these things called air muscles. And to see it is to believe it. That's all I can say. Until you see these things actually work, it's pretty phenomenal.
Quite elaborate. They look like outer space cartoons.
Interesting. I think of it more as inspired.
Jetsons.
Yeah. You know,
Jetsons.
It's interesting. And they're very ancient. You know, the design itself, this is old blacksmithing technique. And if you look at the metal, it's just hammered, forged, some welded, but mostly hammered, forged, riveted metal. Yet when you wrap metal around the human body and you put it into a context of three dimensionality, you know, around the front, the back, remove the body, you get this kind of space age, alien-esque,
yeah.
Organic, humanoid type looking form, which makes for incredible aesthetics.
Strangely though, when you put it on a body, it seems like it belongs there.
They're formed over anatomically correct mannequins,
yeah.
And it's a big challenge as an artist to get these things to form on the human body. Right.
Did you debut these, Ira, at the I keep calling it talent show because that's the roots, way back, the fashion show? Did you debut this thing at fashion?
Actually, the first, I'm going to say the first kick for the performance and the runway walk was here in Carbondale about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And since then we've taken the show to San Francisco, where there's a wonderful venue called Hot Couture at the Crucible. And from there, the San Francisco Chronicle featured the work as a fashion statement in their fashion section, which was quite a pat on the back for me, I thought. And then we got an article in the Huffington Post, they did a full page. So apparently the work is new, it's innovative, but it was unveiled here in Carbondale. And coming up on this Friday and Saturday, you're going to see two completely new pieces, never seen before on the runway, just finished them. I mean, the metal's still warm off the forge.
How about that?
They're cool. They're really cool.
What do they look like? Or do you want to say? I guess that might be a spoiler.
Well, no, I actually just go into Ira Sherman Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see at least parts of them. And you'll see one actually kinetically working off the body.
Is this all you're doing these days? Or are you working on other projects too?
Well, my background is as a jeweler.
Yeah.
So that's where all this technique and form came from back in the 70s and 80s. I have since retired from being a jeweler. I've retired from doing public art. I used to do some public art. I'm still doing some liturgical work. And pretty much spending almost all my time now in the forge.
Liturgical work. What's that?
Well, anything religious.
Oh,
A lot of Judaica. I have some good public pieces. You know, I should say they're in collections of synagogues.
Wow, so that's polar opposite to chastity couture.
Well,
chastity couture will make a Boy Scout blush, won't it?
Well, there's a couple of things to think about. The chastity couture is a paradox. Here in America, or maybe around the world, you know, you're told to be sexy, you're told to be beautiful, you know, and then if something happens to you, what's the first thing the courts do? They say, well, you dressed like that and you asked for it, you know. If you go to a football game, here's the sexy cheerleaders and the macho guys, but the message is a very mixed message, you know. So what I try to do with, and it just fits perfectly with the Me Too movement.
I was just going to ask, but go ahead.
What I do that works perfectly with that is I make a very elegant, beautiful, very sexy fashion or sculpture. Yet, if you wear the sculpture, nothing's going to happen. There's no way anything happens. Think of a Wonder Woman image, and then kind of think of a RoboCop image, where, you know, kind of RoboCops are sort of asexual in some respects, yet they're real macho and protected. And Wonder Woman's empowering. And these pieces, when people put them on, they do feel empowered. There's this kind of, because it's steel, it's heavy, it's powerful to feel, yeah.
I don't. Maybe they were strutting on the catwalk, but several models I saw, it looked like it was maybe kind of hard to walk with these things on.
These are sculptures first. You know, these are not pragmatic fashions by any means. They might be plausible in the sense that, you know, if you put them on somebody, mm-hmm. now the viewer will look at it and go, "Oh, that's what they are." But if you see these pieces, say in a museum, like we had a show at the National Ornamental Museum years back, and if you have a show and these pieces are by themselves, they look at them more like, you know, intriguing three-dimensional kinetic sculptures.
Wow, I was going to ask if these pieces have found their way into museum collections or private collections.
Private collections, yes. One museum collection. My jewelry is in the Smithsonian, so I have jewelry and other works in more prestigious collections. They were actually going to look at one of the other pieces, but it didn't quite fit their, I guess, their taste at the time.
How about that? So two new pieces debuting at this weekend's fashion show.
Right, right. And it is a wonderful event to be part of. You know, Amy and Laura, who are real hard workers, do an amazing job. Anybody who goes is going to just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So you say this is your third year here?
This is my third year here. Every year that I've been here, we put a new collection together, a new look. I'm learning this fashionista talk. You know, it's not a bunch of sculpture that I put on bodies on stage. It's called looks.
Okay.
You know, so I have a new look this year, more of a kinetic look. We experimented with that last year, and then I have some of the more traditional anti-rape designs. These are very serious devices, anatomically correct, based on interviews with men and women who have been attacked and raped. And I asked them, what would you like to see happen to the rapist? And they gave me four or five answers that I made a whole body of work around.
Oh.
And that was the show that was actually at the National Ornamental Museum years ago.
Huh.
So you'll see four of those pieces this weekend, too.
So noble and righteous, as well as unusual and racy.
there's a nice paradox there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can vicious and mean, you know, dangerous. Powerful, lyrical. There's so many things going on in the work.
You're still based down in Denver, Front
still,
Range?
Still in Denver. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's where the studio is.
I'm just trying to picture. It looks like a lot of these pieces are stainless steel.
The older, the ones we're talking about, the anti-rape devices, they're anatomically correct, medical stainless steel.
How do you work with that?
Stainless might be the most difficult metal I've worked with. You can form it hot, but then it gets very scaly, and I can go into all the technical stuff about how to remove the scale and polish it. But essentially, if it's heavy material, you form it hot. If it's cold, you form it cold, and you use hammers and dies and a whole variety of blacksmithing techniques. I don't know if you know this, but the Whitaker Foundation has a blacksmith school up here, and they put on a wonderful, Rocky Mountain Smiths put on a wonderful, wonderful event. And that's my hobby. I'm a blacksmith hobbyist, so I come up here every summer and have a good time too.
Oh, right. You've come up to CRMS and the Whitaker Project.
Right, and those techniques I use to form my work.
Interesting.
If you get a close look at the work later or maybe sometime in the future, this is some pretty serious blacksmith technique and forming technique and jewelry technique.
Now, will locals get a chance to look at these pieces up close off the bodies of the models at the fashion show?
I wish we could have set up a venue like that, but we didn't have time. So that's not going to happen this time around.
So if people want to kind of get a closer look at things, they can go to your website. Is that right?
They can go to my website. There's lots of video and images on that. I'm not a Facebook person at all, but I've been convinced by friends to have a presence. So now I'm posting things there. If you come to Denver, give me a call. Yeah, maybe I'll give you a tour. Maybe there's a show going on.
And you're in the phone book?
I'll give you the number right now. Yeah, it's 303-722-2001. And that's been my studio number forever, and you can catch it online. And anybody who's interested in learning more about it is welcome to call me or send me an email.
That sounds great. Ira Sherman, what a pleasure.
Well, thanks, Luke, and hope things go well this weekend. I'm getting charged up here.
Yeah. Expectation is building.
That's right.
Three days, the show goes on.
Yes, the countdown begins, right?